RJ woke. As long as she lived, from time to time in the middle of the night, she would open her eyes and search the darkness, in the tense certainty that she was still an overworked resident physician at the Limwell Grace Hospital in Boston, grasping at a nap in an empty patient room in the middle of a 36-hour shift. She yawned while the present flooded into her consciousness, and she knew with great relief that the residency was years behind her. But she closed her mind to reality because the luminous hands of the clock told her she had 2 hours left, and she had learned in that long-ago residency to milk every moment of sleep. She emerged again 2 hours later to graying light and no panic and reached over and killed the alarm. Invariably, she awoke just before it rang, but she always set it the night before anyway, just in case. The special shower head thrummed the water into her scalp, not quite bruisingly, as reviving as an extra hour of sleep. The soap slid over a body ampler than she thought desirable, and she wished there were time for a run, but there wasn't. As she used the dryer on her short black hair, still thick and good, she appraised her face. Her skin was fair and clear, her nose narrow and somewhat long, her mouth wide and full. Sensual? Wide, full, and unkissed for a long time. There were bags under her eyes. "So, what do you want, RJ?" she demanded rudely to the woman in the mirror. Not Tom Kendricks any longer, she told herself. Of that, she was certain. She had selected her clothing before she went to bed, and it waited at one side of the closet, a blouse and tailored slacks, attractive but comfortable shoes. In the hallway, she saw through the open door to Tom's bedroom that the suit he had worn yesterday was still on the floor where he had dropped it the night before. He had been up earlier than she and was long gone from the house, needing to be scrubbed and in the operating room by 6:45. Downstairs, she poured a glass of orange juice and forced herself to drink it slowly. Then she put on her coat, picked up her briefcase, and went through the unused kitchen and out to the garage. The little red BMW was her indulgence, as the grand antique house was Tom's. She enjoyed the purr of the engine, the responsiveness of the wheel. It had snowed lightly during the night, but the Cambridge Road crews did a good job removing snow, and she had no trouble once she was past Harvard Square and JFK Boulevard. She turned on the radio and listened to Mozart while drifting with the tide of traffic moving down Memorial Drive. Then she took the Boston University Bridge across the Charles River to the Boston side. Early as it was, at the hospital, the staff parking lot was almost full. She slid the BMW into a space next to a wall to minimize the chance of damage from a neighbor's carelessly opened door, and then walked briskly into the building. The security guard nodded. "Morning, Dr. Cole." "Hi, Louie." At the elevator, she said hello to several people. She got out at the third floor and walked quickly to room 308. She always got to work very hungry in the morning. She and Tom rarely had lunch or dinner at home, and never breakfast. The refrigerator was empty except for juice, beer, and soft drinks. For 4 years, RJ had stopped at the crowded cafeteria every morning. But then Tessa Marchula had become her secretary and insisted on doing for her what she doubtless wouldn't have agreed to do for a man.